The role of faith. Kermit Bradford was a judge for many years in Atlanta, Georgia. And this judge, this faith, he believed in the power of prayer, and he strongly believed that God still heals today. And one morning, a woman from Waycross, Georgia, phoned him as he was about to go to the courtroom. She told him that she had a little girl that was dying from a brain tumor, and that she had heard that he prayed for people. She stated that she was on her way to Atlanta to Ingleston Hospital for an operation on her daughter's brain. But before she went, she wanted to see the judge, and she pleaded with him to please allow her to bring her daughter to those chambers where his court was so that he could pray for her. So Judge Bradford agreed, and the mother arrived with her little 18-month-old daughter hanging over her shoulder like a sack of flour. The baby's face was almost sickly green in color. And Judge Bradford was surprised to see that the baby had a very large water head. The mother explained that her baby had already been operated on twice. The doctor told her a third operation could possibly mean death. Well, Judge Bradford went on to explain that no man can heal, but that God can heal through men. And he laid his hands on the little girl's head and prayed that God would loose her from the sickness. The mother left, and Judge Bradford went on about his busy schedule in his courtroom. Well, the next morning, his phone rang, and it was the young mother. She told the judge that when she arrived at the hospital, the staff saw that her daughter was near death, and they rushed her to the operating room, and an hour passed, 2 hours passed, 3 hours passed, and she began to pace the room. As she told the story to Judge Bradford, she said that she knew something terrible had happened when all of a sudden the surgeon walked in with his operating jacket and his mask on. "Don't tell me she's dead," cried the mother. The surgeon quickly said, "No, she's not dead." He said, "For 3 hours we've been examining her. We took the previous x-ray showing the mass on her brain, and then we made another x-ray, but the mass wasn't there. We knew it had to be an error, so we sent her back to have another one made, and that one was in error too. We had three made. We had a spinal tap made, but nothing was wrong. Then we had the whole staff do spinal taps and examine her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And for 3 hours, we have been working on her to try to figure out what we're going to do before we operate on her brain. But the fact is, the mass on her brain is gone." Well, it's surely... The doctor went on to say, "And as surely as I'm speaking to you, her head has begun to shrink right before our eyes, down from a water head to a normal head. We don't know what happened. All we know is that she has been healed." That mother took that little daughter home, and for 4 years, she brought her back for a checkup every 4 months, and the child was perfect. Well, the little girl's daddy was the editor of the Waycross newspaper, and he featured a headline in large capital letters on the front page that declared, "Judge prays for daughter, and she's healed in his chambers." No one can tell the parents of that little girl or Judge Bradford that God's promises of healing, those promises that we know in the Word of God, nobody can say that those are just so many empty words. Nobody can say God has gone out of the healing business. Amen? In part one of this series, we touched a little bit on the role of faith that plays in healing. So tonight, I thought I would go just a little bit deeper on this issue of the role of faith. Let me begin by just saying that just as salvation is by grace through faith, all of God's blessings, even healing, are gifts by God's grace through our faith in what He can do. It's a work of grace. It's all a work of grace. We don't earn them. We don't deserve them. In Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." No one, by any example, when you read the Bible, no one in the New Testament demanded healing. People came to Jesus beseeching Him for healing. They didn't look upon healing as their right, but they looked upon healing as a gracious gift and privilege by God's grace extended to them. Divine healing, by the way, is not a means of avoiding the effects of old age. We all understand that, don't we? The gradual breakdown of the human body as we age is going to continue to happen. Aging is indeed the common experience of all of us, especially those in this room tonight. Yet we still know that even as we age, that God's healing touch is still available to the aged. Amen? We must believe that. God isn't just sitting on His throne in heaven saying, "Well, that fellow's just too old. I'm not going to bother healing him." Can you imagine God feeling that way? I say that because we have to be on guard that we don't get that thought in our minds. Yes. That person's so old and they're so far gone, I don't need to pray for them. That's not the right kind of thinking at all, is it? When God does heal, by the way, when He does heal some part of our body that we need Him to touch, that part is healed, that's for sure, but that part does continue to age. I just want to remind everybody of that. It still continues to age just like the rest of our body continues to age. We do not yet, even though I believe in divine healing, we do not yet have the full redemption of our bodies that's going to take someday when that trump sounds and the rapture occurs and we go home. Scripture in Romans 8, 21 through 25. "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Well, praise God. It's going to be a redemption someday. "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he can already see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Folks, we're hoping. Though we don't see it right now, we are hoping through eyes of faith. We are hoping with perseverance for the promises of God, including our ultimate redemption of this body. Amen. Amen. No matter how many times we may be healed in this life, no matter how many times it may be, sooner or later, if Jesus tarries, we're going to die. Everybody understand that? Yeah. Now, I don't say this is a discouragement, because, you know, we do have God's promises. God's promise in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being rewarded day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Oh, it's eternal, the promises, the hope we have. The part of those things not seen, the part of those things not seen yet anyway, is the full redemption of our bodies. That's going to happen. It's the promises of God. Healing, though, healing today is evidence It's like a foretaste, if you would. Healing today is evidence or foretaste of that promised complete redemption of our bodies. Divine healing is actually also a foretaste of the power of the coming ages, sort of like a first installment about what's ahead. What's ahead for us when the rapture occurs? What's ahead for us if we die in Christ and we're in heaven? Healing today is just a kind of a foretaste of all the perfection and glory that's waiting us in heaven. Think about it, healing and miracles today. Y'all still believe in miracles, don't you? Oh, amen. Healing and miracles today. They're a confirmation of the Lord's promised salvation in Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. What is that word saying to us tonight? It's saying that, yes, salvation is ours through faith by grace, but it says, but God also, that word also is not only is he saving you by the miracle of salvation, the power of the cross, God also is confirming and bearing witness with signs and wonders and miracles and healings. He's confirming and bearing witness that he is our God and he is our Savior. And so today, we believe and continue to look for those opportunities to pray and persevere and know that God can reach down and touch and bring in wonderful answers to prayer, miracles. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 speaks of our inward man being renewed day by day. This inner renewal actually makes us better able, you think about it, better able to have the faith to receive the privilege of divine healing. We spoke earlier of examples of people healed, and the word speaks very specifically about their faith. As a reminder, for example, the woman with the issue of blood. Remember when she reached out and touched him? Jesus said, thy faith has made you whole. Thy faith has made you whole. You also remember the Syrophoenician woman that's spoken of in the 7th chapter of Mark. She comes seeking Christ and she has a daughter who's demon possessed. And she's wanting Jesus to reach out and heal her daughter. And you remember Jesus says, you know, I didn't come to minister to anybody but the Jews. I'm going to paraphrase. I didn't come to minister to anybody but the Jews. Remember how she responded? She says, even the dogs get little crumbs and a crumb's enough. That's what she was saying. Even the dogs get the crumbs and a crumb's enough. Lord, if you'll just. That woman had faith, didn't she? That Syrophoenician woman had faith that if Jesus said yes, her daughter would be healed and delivered. And she was, wasn't she? Yeah. In Mark's gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 6, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, speaking of Christ, when he went to his homeland, to his own family. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Listen to what that verse is telling us. The Son of God goes to his hometown, to his own people and his own family. And he's talking about a prophet is not without honor except in his own country among his own people. They just take it for granted. We know this guy. We saw him growing up. We know that. He's just that little kid that grew up. He used to be over here, Joseph's little kid. Remember him. And he goes on to say, nor could he do no mighty work there. Listen to what that word is saying. The Son of God could do no mighty work there. Why? Because there was no faith. Faith. No faith. You look with me in Mark chapter 9, 17 through 29. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. It seizes him and it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I spoke to your disciples, but they could not cast it out. And he answered him and he said, O faithless, do you hear that part? O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Then he looked at the man and said, bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when Jesus saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he's thrown him both into the fire and to the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Then Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Listen to what Jesus is saying to that dad. That dad's got a boy. He's got a demonic spirit. He's got seizures, convulsions. And he's asking Jesus to help. And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, you remember what he said? He says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What an honest expression. He was saying, I believe a little bit maybe. I believe some, but there's still this unbelief down inside of me. It's still there. Lord, he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever had that moment where you just go, you're just trying to reach heaven by behalf of a situation or a need or some particular thing, somebody that needs a touch from God, healing, salvation, whatever it may be, and you're believing and you're praying and yet you want more faith, right? You want to have that more sense of faith. Lord, I believe, help my, that should be all of our prayers at times, shouldn't it? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, help my faith to grow. Well, the Bible says when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. He became as one as dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. What does prayer and fasting do for you? It helps you grow in faith, doesn't it? What does prayer and fasting do? It helps you grow closer to Jesus. What does prayer and fasting do? It helps you empty yourself of all your stuff, your self-reliance. Prayer and fasting causes you to be humbled and dependent in spirit, and to cry out to God from a humble and broken heart in spirit, and through faith, touch the hem of his garment, so to speak, and receive that need to be met. James 5 and 15, you know this verse well. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Let me ask you, has anybody ever been to one of the healing services that used to be so common, like by Catherine Kuhlman Healing Services? Oral Roberts, yes, Oral Roberts used to hold many tent revivals and incredible healing services. And with people just, the miracles of God touching and giving healing, incredible miracles of God, miracles of healing through the instruments that God had chosen at that moment. And use Oral Roberts as a good example, and Catherine Coleman's another one. An example of reaching down. Oral Roberts never healed anybody's life, neither did Catherine Coleman. They were just vessels God used through which to touch and to heal and to bless. It's a gift of God. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit, isn't it? The gift of healing. It's one of the gifts. We praise God for those gifts. When we speak of faith, the role that faith has in divine healing, the faith has to be in God. Not in the means or the words to help us express faith, but it's in God. Yeah. The story, you know, the New Testament tells the story of the anointing was so heavy upon Paul, and the gift of healing was so massive upon Paul that even aprons that he would give to people would, and they would take that apron, and by having that apron and faith in God, they would be healed. Or handkerchiefs, just the handkerchiefs would be healed. I've shared this story with you. Let me share this with you again tonight. When we were at Harvest Time Assembly of God up in Sherman, Steve and Jim, Ginger, remember the brother Patrick and his wife, I went blank. Jesse Lee, Frank and Jesse Lee Patrick. And Patrick shared the story with me one time. We were just together having coffee or whatever. I just love that guy. He was just a great guy. He was kind of a gear nut like us, Steve. He loved old cars and doing stuff to cars. He's a great guy. We were visiting, and he says, "Ever told you how I came to the Lord?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, I grew up in church and grew up going to Sunday school and church, but, you know, I got in my teenage years, and I was a big football star here at the Sherman High School. Everybody knew me, and I thought I was pretty tough, and I just let God completely out of my life and had nothing to do with God." And later, Jesse Lee and I got married. They got married when Jesse Lee and him were still seniors in high school, and they wouldn't let them come to school after they got married, but they still were able to get their degrees later. And he said, I just was going through my life all those years completely leaving God out, and I became an alcoholic. I drank and I drank and I drank, and I was doing well in business, I was doing well financially, but I just kept drinking. And I was a terrible husband, I was a terrible father, and I know it was breaking my wife Jessie Lee's heart, just breaking her heart. And she'd pray for me and pray for me, and our marriage almost broke up and almost fell apart. We'd come back together, and he said, "But I still refuse to have anything to do with church or Christ or believing in God or anything." He said, "But my wife, Jessie Lee, didn't give up." He opened his wallet, and he took out his wallet. In the back was a little piece of a fabric that he had tucked down the bottom of his wallet. He said, "Let me tell you what my sweet wife did." He said, "She was watching one of these TV shows where they're telling you that if you'll send in some money, they'll send you this little piece of fabric, and that you can put that fabric on somebody that you're praying for or whatever, and it, whatever the need may be, and that God can heal and touch and help them." He said, "You know, Jessie Lee never went in for that kind of stuff, even though she grew up full of faith and believed in Jesus, but she thought some of that stuff was just sort of people trying to make money and get money to send money and all that. So she just never went in for that. But she was so desperate for me that she sent money in and got that little piece of fabric." And he said, "I didn't know it at the time, but she took that piece of fabric and she put it under my pillowcase. And every night I went to bed, my head was on that little fabric between that pillowcase and my pillow. And one morning I woke up and that little piece of fabric was sticking out, and I looked at it and I looked at her and I said, 'What is this?' And she didn't want to tell me, but I made her tell me. And she's crying. She says, she looked at me and said, 'Frank, I was desperate. I saw this show on TV. They said if you send a few dollars in, they send you this fabric they prayed over. And if there's somebody you're praying for that needs Jesus, that needs healing, needs deliverance, you put this in their clothes and whatever.' So, Frank, that's what I did." He said it just completely broke his heart. When he realized that his wife was so broken and hurt over him, that she would do something that she had never done, and that was to send money off to some outfit, just get this little piece of cloth, knowing that was not like her at all to do that, he said, it told me how desperate my wife had become on my behalf. And he said that following day was Sunday. And I went to church with Jess Lee. He said, "I went to the front of that church and knelt at that altar and cried and asked Jesus to forgive me and to come into my heart and be my Savior. And I was born again that day, and I never took another drink ever again. And I've been serving Jesus ever since." and he says, I keep this little piece of cloth in my wallet as a reminder. Every time I open this wallet up to get a dollar bill out, that cloth is there as a reminder of what God did for me, how much my wife was willing to go that extra mile because she was concerned for me. Faith. Oh, faith works a lot of different ways. But it's the faith in God, amen. That cloth didn't do anything but ignite a little spirit and a spark in a man, but it's that faith in God that does it. We anoint with oil when we call people up to the front. We anoint them with oil. That oil's not the healing agent. We all know that. It's just a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of God's presence. Let us not forget that God's will and desire is for all of us to grow stronger in our faith, to have more faith, to trust Him more and more. I conclude tonight with the scripture we know very well. It's in Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'll just remind you, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much according to the Word of God. Perseverance, fervent, passion. Oh, God, help us to have that in us as we seek Him and as we pray. Father, thank You for Your Word and the directions it gives us, the hope that it gives us, the faith that it gives us. God, let faith grow. Let us have that desire to draw close to You. Lord, to sense more of Your presence and Your power in us each day. Let us have that sense, God, that we've never arrived, that we each day we want more and more of You. Each day we want to draw closer and closer to You. That each day we want to feel more of Your love and Your power and Your wonderful working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. More and more every day, Father. Give that us that desire. Give us that passion, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. Amen. Amen.